Good morning. This is the beginning of a new series. The whole next month, we're going to focus on new, the word new, everything new. And I will say, I'm not here to bash any of the New Year, New Me crowds, the ones who make up the New Year resolution list and tries to do that list. But I will say it is very popular among our society to use January 1st, the beginning of a new year, to try or do something new, whether it's to lose weight. We just got done with Thanksgiving, Christmas, you add a few pounds. Or whether it's to make more money. You just got done with Christmas, buying presents, and may need, your bank account may be dry. Who knows? It may be to be a better person, to do better, maybe be more patient, maybe do some charitable deeds. Whatever it may be, we always wait for the beginning of the new year to do something. But the sad part is, there is a day, and it's usually the first or second Friday of January, maybe February, it's considered Quitter's Day. Because people end up quitting. They decide, this isn't for me, I'm going to go back to what I know, we'll start again the next new year. They may not say that out loud, but that's what they're thinking. And it's sad because they lack commitment, discipline, and I'm one of those sometimes. I can be lazy. I can not accomplish something fully. It happens. Life does tend to get busy, and it is hard. Losing weight is hard, especially the older you get. But we know that along with losing weight and everything else, there are things that we must do, that we must accomplish in order to succeed. Losing weight, one must exercise. People will go join a gym here soon, and the gyms will be crowded, wall to wall. And then they'll go, and of course, one must eat right. They must replace the nasty, the sugars, the candies, the greasy fried foods with healthy things. So you go to the grocery store. The vegetable sections will be cleaned out, possibly. Those are two things that we need to do, eat right and exercise. Or if you're like a lot of people, you see the new diet supplement that celebrities will endorse, that people will go spend money on. Yet, once again, those celebrities, they're just endorsing. They have the money to keep their bodies in shape. I'll just say that. They have the money to look younger. Most of us don't. But why am I saying all this? Well, Christianity, our walk with Christ, it's hard. It's not easy, and it will never be easy. When you study Scripture, you see that it's not going to be easy. Even Christ himself never sugarcoated how hard it was going to be. He told his followers straight up, very blunt about it. It's going to be hard. And so when we look at the new year, new me, we cannot fall into the category of those quitters. People, and I call them lukewarm Christians, they become Christians, they are saved, and at first they're on fire, they're fighting through, they're studying Scripture every day, they have a powerful prayer life, but along the way, things start getting hard, and they drop out. They fall into sin a couple of times, and they remain there. They go back to their old self, the old man, their old way of life. What can we do to keep that from happening? What can we do to keep that fire inside of us bright and burning? Well, Paul in Colossians 3, starting in the first four verses, that's going to be our main text this morning. Paul shows us what we must do, what we must focus on in order to keep that new man alive and burning. And really, this entire series will take place in Colossians 3 and 4. But starting with the first three verses here, in verse 1, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So let's stop there. The new start, the new outlook, right? We see here to focus on things above. What does that look like? We know when they focus on things above, that is where Christ is. He is at the right hand of the Father as we speak. When we focus on things above, we see these individuals are focused on their souls, their spirits. That's their main priority, keeping that spirit healthy, keeping that spirit in shape. That's all they are worried about. They're not worried about things going on here on earth. They're not worried about materialistic goods. They are focused on what truly matters. What shape is my soul in? Is it ready for judgment day? And so Paul to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Here's the first thing that these new people do. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Therefore, be imitators of God. That is the first thing we must focus on, is imitating God. We are to look up to God, to walk, talk, to conduct ourselves in such a way that is godly. When one imitates, he's copying everything that an individual's doing. Playing the game, follow the leader. Someone chooses the leader, you do exactly what they do, you copy them. Step by step. And when you don't, you fail, right? You lose. And so, imitate God. And so, we see, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You go back to Exodus. We see that the sacrifices the Israelites made, that smoke that went up when they did the burnt offerings, it was a sweet-smelling aroma to God. This love that we see here, that Christ showed us, it was sacrificial love. He loved us so much, he sacrificed his own life to come and die for us, each and every one of us. When we imitate God, we must sacrifice people, things, not literally, but we are to sacrifice. We are to give all that up. And we see that in the next section here, but fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you knew, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. We are to sacrifice that old self, that old man, the wants that go along with it, in order to be imitators of God. Christ came down from the comforts of heaven to live as a man. He was both fully man and fully God. He went through things that we cannot comprehend. the pain that he would have felt as his flesh was ripped open, as he was beaten, and the pain that he felt while being mocked, humiliated, we can never comprehend that level. We are to sacrifice everything to imitate God, and that includes family, friends. We must understand, and Paul understood this, to live is Christ. Christ was his entire purpose for waking up every day and going and preaching the truth. He knew what was more important. Are we willing to make that type of sacrifice and imitate God? When we choose to want to lose weight for this new year, we must make sacrifices, shouldn't we? We have to sacrifice our favorite treats, our favorite foods that are not good for us. We must sacrifice time that we could be laying in our lazy boy chair watching TV and resting to going and exercising, going to the gym. To be a better person, you got to sacrifice that anger, that whatever you struggle with to be a better person. You must sacrifice time to help people. To make more money, you have to sacrifice time. You'll have to do overtime. You have to work to make more money. If you don't work, you don't make money and you don't eat. And so there are sacrifices involved with all these things, and people do not have the discipline. They are not committed to that. And so likewise for lukewarm Christians, they are not willing to give things up in order to imitate God. And so the second thing, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 here, there are two things here we see. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Two things, obedient children. And what that entails, we are not to give in to our former lust. We are not to give in to the ways of the world, what our old self, our old man wanted to do. We must be obedient to God. Secondly, we are to be holy. For God is holy. What does that mean? We've talked about it in class. Holy, consecrated, set apart. When we come to Christ and we give our life to Christ, we have been set apart to serve him and him only. That means sacrificing. Christ at one point told his followers, if you love your father and mother more than me, if you love your children more than me, you are not worthy of me. Now, that doesn't mean we have nothing to do with our family. You know, we have family time. We are even told to honor our parents. But once again, our priority has now shifted. It's all Christ, or it's nothing. Christ comes before all people, all things. That is our life now as Christians. We are to be holy. Set apart. In the next text, 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. There's another characteristic. There's another thing that we see from a new man. They practice righteousness. They do what is right. Not before the world, not by their own ways, by God. What's right before his eyes. It's a hard thing to do. We live in a world that's full of selfishness. It's all about themselves, whoever it is. They're only worried about what they can gain. They are all about sin. They live in sin. That's what the world's all about. Not when you're a Christian. It's all about Christ and what he has commanded us to do. It's that simple. And it's just like losing weight. It's simple. Eat right and exercise. You want to make more money? You got to work. And you got to work hard to earn more money. You want to be a better person? You need to do what you would want others to do unto you. It's simple. The answer is simple. But does that mean it will be easy? No. Because in John 15, verses 18 through 20, Christ lays it all out. And then in the next chapter, he lays it all out again. John 15, 18 through 20, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you, would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Christ lays it out here for his followers. He says, look, the world hated me. Understand that, before it hated you. And it did. We see what Christ went through. And all he did was come and heal people, raise the dead back to life. He did nothing wrong. He was sinless through his entire life. And what he spoke was true. When he called himself God, he was God in the flesh. Now, if you were of the world, if you were like the world, yeah, they would love you. If you agreed with the agendas of the LGBTQ, yeah, they would love you, wouldn't they? They'd have your back. You'd have an army behind you. Yeah, if you agreed with just sin, yeah, you can get remarried for other reasons. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. You can have sex before marriage. You can cuss. You can lust. You can do all that. The world will love you as its own. We look at buildings that are full of people because the preacher tells them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Yeah, you're going to have a huge following. I could fill this. We could fill this building full and have to extend it if we just simply did not preach the truth. That won't ever happen. But once again, the world does not like those who are different. And the followers have been pulled out of the world. They have been chosen to be different, to be Christ's, to be his. And so, a servant is not greater than his master. They persecuted me, they will persecute you. And we see that. Stephen was the first martyr. And it continued to get worse. In John 16, he tells them once again that there will be, you will have tribulation. But he tells them, you have peace, knowing that I have overcome the world. Lays it out there once again. He even tells Peter, you're going to be a martyr. He tells Peter how he's going to die. It's not easy. It is not for the spiritually weak. But we must understand that what God has in store for all of us is far better than anything. Once again, when you start shedding that weight, you feel better. You look better. You're pleased with your image. When you start becoming a better person, helping people out, it's a great feeling. There are benefits to doing these things, absolutely. And we know for us who remain faithful to God, we know one day we will receive eternal life, which is far better than anything this world can offer us. To be with God in his presence for eternity in heaven, where there is no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow. Can you imagine? And so when we look at the old self, these are individuals who focus on things on earth. And we see some teachings from Christ. The old you, the old self, what you focused on. I remember, once again, being a kid. Every kid has an idea what they want to do, and it's usually a pro athlete. Now, today, it's an influencer and all these different things. I've only had one kid I have asked that said, I want to be a brain surgeon. That's pretty interesting because you don't hear that a lot. But most kids, they want to be a streamer, if you know what that means, and an influencer and all this. And that's great if you want to pursue it, but understand it's not always easy. But once again, it's all about money. It's all about what I can, if I can get enough money to buy myself what I want. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The world will tell you this is what you need in order to be successful. One, you need a great job. Two, you need a lot of money. And three, you take that money and you go buy you nice things to show off your wealth, to show people you're wealthy. And you'll be successful in the eyes of the world, right? Many people want to be famous. We see that with movie stars, TV stars, whomever. They become famous. Fame, wealth, those are the focuses on this earth. People want and want. Have you ever heard of the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses? People try to do that. We even have financial gurus, and I remember listening to one. He stood up on a stage after charging people thousands of dollars to come and hear him. He stood up there and wrote on a whiteboard, 400,000. And he said, I would be ashamed to be a man if I made this much. I don't know how you people live. I'm sitting here thinking, I could do a lot with $400,000 a year. But once again, they're left with wanting more. They never are content with what they have. This is the reality. This is what our old self, our old man was focusing on for so long. In James 1:11, for no sooner has the sun risen with the burning heat that it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. There will come a day when the billionaires, millionaires will be buried underground the same way we're buried. And when they stand before Christ, there's no amount of money, there is no amount of earthly gain that can get you into heaven. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have to answer. And so I bring up 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 4. This is the prime definition of what the world was like then and what the world is like now. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is what the worldly people look like. These are the things they focus on. And guess what? It leaves a void, an empty void inside that cannot be filled with any amount of money, with any amount of materialistic goods. And they're miserable. They have no peace. They have no hope. A lot of them will tell you, I don't want to die. I want to live as long as I can. But you cannot dodge death. You may dodge it for a little while. There have been people who live to be 120 years old, which is amazing, but eventually you will draw that last breath, and if your soul is not right with God, it will not bode well. Stop focusing on things that do not matter. You need four things to survive in this world, really five. Most important thing is God. Two, shelter. Three, food. Four, water. And five, clothing. You have all five of those things, you're successful. You're part of the 1% in this world. Because there are people in other countries that don't have what we have. You are part of the 1% if you have those five things. And so, going back to our main text, those who are faithful will appear with Christ. Starting in verse 3, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Notice, who is your life? When Christ is your entire life, when he is your entire purpose of living, of waking up day after day and going out and living and glorifying him, you will appear with him in glory. In places like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 15, here's Paul writing to the Corinthians, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. As well as 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. The apostles understood what was the most important thing in this entire world. They understood. We see what they went through the book of Acts. And there were things that we weren't told of that they would have went through. But it was not easy. But Peter here understood, stands, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. I would rather suffer for doing good and having my conscience clear. I want to be able to give a defense to where my hope lies. You want to know what are two factors we need to be that new individual, to have that fire keep built up in us? Live, eat, and breathe Scripture. Every moment of free time you have, spend it in Scripture. I tell children at camp, if you give at least an hour or two a day to studying Scripture and two, to having a prayer life, you're going to see a change in your life. You're going to see yourself wanting nothing to do with the world or sin, and you'll want everything to do with Christ. You know, I admire people who at the beginning of the new year read through the entire Bible in a year, and that's great. I'm glad they're opening up Scripture to read it. But there's a difference between read and study. Here's my challenge to you. Pick one book, old or new, and you study that entire book, I mean dissect it. You will know more than an individual who has read through the entire Bible in a year. But don't stop with one book. Keep going. Study all Scripture. Dig deep into Scripture. Dig into the meat of the text. And you will see, within just a few months, you will see yourself change. And you will see that your desires for sin will disappear. Now, you will always have temptation. You will, and we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We do fall short, but the difference between a true Christian and a lukewarm Christian, the true Christian picks themselves up. They come with a penitent heart, repent, and keep moving forward. Lukewarm Christian gives up. They give in, and they remain there. And so when we look at this new year coming in, brothers and sisters, we must strive. Don't wait until January 1st. Start now. For those who are not Christians, now is the time to make it right, to give your life to Christ. We're not promised 5 minutes from now. We're not promised a month from now, days from now. It could be too late. Don't wait. Give your life to Christ this morning. Don't wait for the new year. Do it now. And this is how you do it. You hear the word, Romans 10:17. Believe the word, John 3:16-17. Repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Confess your faith, Romans 10:10. Be baptized for the remission of sins, Galatians 3:26-27. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23, for the rest of your life. And I promise you, things will get hard. The journey will get hard. But when you run back to God, He'll be with you through it all. And it will make it easier. The journey is never promised to be easy. But having Christ on your side gives you a fighting chance to overcome. For He has overcome the world. Give your life to Christ this morning. Do not wait. Or if you are a Christian and you have felt yourself slip back into sin, now's the time to make it right, to come forward with a penitent heart and to repent and to renew your walk with Christ. Once again, it will be worth everything to be right with Christ once again. And so if you're here this morning and you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.